So last week, Nikki started us off talking about the creed and what the creed was. And I have the honour of talking about the very first one, which is God the Father, God the Almighty. So we're going to break it down into those two parts, and we'll talk about what God the Father, what the scripture tells us about God the Father and what it means to us today. And then the second part about God the Almighty. So the first thing you need to understand about God the Father is it's not a statement about God's gender. He's not male, he's not female. God is God. When Jesus talks about God as Father, he talks about him as a person and not just simply a power. He addressed God as Father in his prayers, and he also taught his disciples to do the same. So last month we talked about the Lord's Prayer and we went into it in great detail, but it may be helpful to just go back to the beginning of Luke chapter 1 and remind ourselves of how the Lord's Prayer starts. So Jesus told the disciples, when you pray, say, Father. When we pray, Father, it reminds us of that special relationship we have with God. We're part of his family. We belong to God. We are his children. Father, such a lovely word. Jesus obviously said more words than this, and the whole of the Lord's Prayer was a beautiful expression that he gave his disciples. But he did start with that one word, Father. And throughout the Gospels, Jesus called God Father over and over again, when he was praying alone, when he was with his disciples, when he was talking to the crowds. He always spoke about God as Father. But obviously it wasn't an English word he used, because they didn't have the word Father as such. But he called him Abba, which is the Aramaic word that meant both Dad and Father, both intimate and personal and formal. Now, Jesus mostly called God Abba. He was never embarrassed by his Father. He was never ashamed of his Father. He was never afraid of his Father. He never had to apologize for his Father's behavior. Instead, Jesus came so that we would know his Father, who has loved him perfectly from eternity, and who also loves us perfectly in the same way. Now, your earthly Father is the source of your life, but our heavenly Father is the source of all life. Now, even though, like us, Jesus couldn't physically see God his Father when he was on earth, he considered him accessible and close, just like an earthly father. And Jesus liked to teach us what kind of parent, what kind of Abba God is. And he is the most loving and generous parent you can imagine, even if that's not what your parents were like. That's my dad and me playing on the sand. Now, I wasn't probably very old there, and I can't quite remember that situation, but I do remember that my dad was like that throughout his life. I was very fortunate in that he was the most loving parent I could ever hope for. He was only 21 when I was born, but he loved being a dad. And he always found the time to show me that love. when he came in from work, before he'd even taken off his work clothes, the first thing he would do is come and find me and ask me to show him what I'd made that day, or tell him what I'd done, what I'd learnt. He wanted to know, and he wanted to listen, and he wanted to spend time with me. And that continued throughout my life, through school, through college, through my marriage, through heartaches and joys. He always wanted to show me that he was there for me, even when there were things he couldn't fix. I always knew that he loved me unconditionally. However, I do realise that there are many people who don't have or have never had that kind of relationship. And sometimes they have a hard time relating to God as Father because they didn't have that relationship with an earthly father. If your father was too busy or too preoccupied, you might feel that God is too. If your father was emotionally detached, you may view your heavenly father as being distant. If your father was never there for you, you may doubt that God your father will actually be there for you when you need him. Each of us needs the love of a father. Some of us never had one. Maybe you didn't feel loved and accepted by your father. The truth is, you can't develop to your full potential without a father's love. As difficult as it may seem, it is the way we were made, to feel the love of those around us. But God wants you to know that he is your heavenly Father and he unfailingly loves you as a father should, with strength, care, guidance, consistency, protection. Your heavenly Father is not like an earthly parent. He will never abandon you, never mistreat you. He'll never ignore you, and he'll never be too preoccupied to have time for you. He's always there for you. He always loves you, and he always has your best interests at heart. There is an old hymn that I used to sing that says, "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation." And then it goes on to say in the second verse, "Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, he who with love doth befriend thee." The unconditional love of an earthly father is something you may have missed. But the unconditional love of your heavenly Father is something you need never live without. When the Bible talks about God our Father, it says he desires true closeness and intimacy with us, to restore our lives, to mend our hearts, to wipe away our tears with his own hands, to breathe his own spirit into us and to fill us with his life and his love. That's what it means to say, "I believe in God the Father." Many years ago, God gave me a picture encouraging me to approach God as Father. And the picture was of a small child coming into the house with a broken toy. Now, the little girl gave it to her father and said, "Daddy, my toy's broken. please mend it. She didn't ask, can you mend it? Because as a child does, they know instinctively that fathers can do anything, or parents, mothers. Now that picture that God gave me then changed. And I then saw Jesus taking each one of us by the hand and leading us to the Father and saying, I have a child here who needs healing, mending, comforting. Please heal them. Jesus didn't ask God to heal us. He knew wholeheartedly that God would. When we come before God as Father, we need to know that he will fix us. And we used to sing a chorus in Sunday school that said, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. While I was praying over this preach this morning and sort of doing some research into the subject, I came across a beautiful prayer in a book written by a lady called Stormy O'Martian. And I just wanted to share that with you. So I thought I'd put it up on the board and I'll just talk it through and you can read the words. Heavenly Father, I worship you this day. I am so grateful that you are not a distant, remote Father, but a close and loving one. You are closer to me than an earthly father ever could be. Your love for me is unconditional and everlasting. I know that no father on earth is perfect, but you are. Thank you that as my father, you care about what happens to me. You provide for me, teach me, plan for my future, supply all my needs, and because you love me, you will never let me get away with disobedience to your rules. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. Help me to always do what is pleasing in your sight. Thank you that you have adopted me as your special child. I praise and honor you as my Father God and give thanks for all things, especially your Father's love. Amen. Now maybe there's one or two of you in here that needs to reflect on those words. If so, I would encourage you to find these notes from the podcast and to allow them to feed your heart and your soul in the coming days. Never forget that God is a good, good Father. It's who he is. And we're loved by him. For that's who we are. Nothing can change that. So let's return to our creed and we'll now look at the second point. I believe in God the Almighty. So what does the word Almighty mean when we're talking about God? The Old Testament references the word Almighty in a number of places. For instance, at the start of Psalm 91, in the New Standard Revised Version, it says, you who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now, Webster's dictionary states that the word Almighty means having absolute power over all. And if you read the rest of this psalm, you will find that it teaches us that God is at work everywhere, all of the time, from the heavens above to the deepest depths of the ocean, even in and through us. Almighty means God doesn't have to compete with any other force or power, because God is the source of all. The heavens and the earth are no match for his awesome power and might. Even they live and move in him, because of him, for him, and at his pleasure. Almighty means God is totally free and completely sovereign. Now, the word Almighty makes it sound that God can do everything. That seems pretty straightforward. God can protect us and make sure nothing ever bad happens to us. But do we believe what this psalm seems to promise on those terms? That if we trust God, he will protect us from bad things. This kind of imagination of God's power has weakened the faith of so many and driven lots of people away from the faith entirely. So let's revisit that word Almighty again and ask if that's what it is really saying, that God can just control what he wants whenever he wants. For our Father God doesn't express his almighty power through controlling behaviours or by manipulating us. Instead, our Almighty Father shows his freedom and his sovereignty by serving us, by nurturing and nourishing and strengthening us, by providing us with a safe haven when things get rough. Bad things happen, and they happen to everyone, no matter who we are. But it's how we reach out to God during those bad times that matters. Now, you may notice in some of your Bible translations a little footnote next to the word Almighty. And that footnote is because the word Almighty is translating a Hebrew name of God, El Shaddai. And you'll see up there, the Common English Bible translates the same verse, but keeps the words El Shaddai. You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in El Shaddai's shadow. Say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you, and I am safe. Despite God's great power, we have nothing to fear. We revere his great name, but we need not be afraid of him, because his love is as great as his power. One of the possible literal meanings of El Shaddai is God of the mountain refuge, safety, a hiding place. A place and a person to go to when you're scared and looking for help. El Shaddai, God Almighty, is the ultimate authority, and nothing and no one can completely satisfy your soul other than El Shaddai. When he steps in, miracles happen. The power of God is revealed, and situations and lives are changed. El Shaddai, God Almighty, will speak life into lifeless situations. Faith and hope are grounded in his presence. Peace and joy are received in your hearts. And when God steps into the situation, life springs forth from what appears to be impossible. He is all you need. El Shaddai is God Almighty, and he is all sufficient. When he shows up, spiritual victory is the outcome. He always keeps his promises, and situations no longer appear hopeless. When God speaks, the outcome is sure. Now imagine if the Christian creed had said, I believe in God the Father and the safe hiding place. During our 21 days of prayer, we thought a lot about well-being and finding our safe place in God. Psalm 32 verse 7 says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Whenever the world gives you troubles, problems, or makes you afraid, put God's promises in your heart. You don't need to fear God the Almighty, for he is always with you. For Christians, he is our secret hiding place, our special fortress, and whenever life overwhelms us, we can run to him. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. When we draw near to God, he draws near to us, where we can hide in his comfort and encouragement. If we seek him through prayer and keep our minds on him, God's presence will be near and his love will surround us, uphold us and guide us. Now, even though we're only looking at that part of the creed today, I couldn't finish this without putting the whole thing together. We need to understand that God the Father is the beginning and the end. He is the total, ultimate package. Even though our human minds can't always understand how God has always existed and always will exist, this is a truth that will stand the test of time. Albert Einstein once said, of all there is to know in the universe, I suppose I know less than 1%. Now, if Albert Einstein said that, then I can imagine that what I would know probably wouldn't reach more than 0.00001%. Or even, he's such a clever man. But what is important is to believe in what we do know. Not how much we know, but what we know. In Genesis 1, at the beginning, we read, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So here we see that God, as creator, has been there since the very beginning and has created everything that we know. God created our world, our universe, the stars, the sun, the moon, every living being. He created us and he called everything good. The psalmist recognized that God was all powerful. As we read in Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. If we studied creation, we would be able to see how intricate and how incredibly put together it all is. The vastness of the universe displays incredible beauty, complexity, and wonder. And Psalm 19 verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. God the Father, God the Almighty, was at the beginning, and he is also at the end. As we read in Revelation, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We can look forward confidently, knowing that everything will happen because God controls history from the beginning to the very end. So let's look at what we've learned this morning. We've learned that God is the beginning and the end. God created this universe and everything in it, especially you and me that bear his image. So we can trust God's care for this world and the next, and for all of us who belong to him. We've learned that he is our Father. We belong to him and to his family. We can believe that he turns everything in our lives into what is good for us. It might not be easy at times, but because he is all-powerful, all-present, all-wise, and all-loving, we can trust the control of our lives to him without fear of being unloved or uncared for. And finally, we've learnt that he is almighty. Nothing is impossible for God. Whatever we face today, tomorrow, this week, next month, God has the power and the authority to handle everything because he already knows. So therefore, we can trust him. Amen.